Track excels in the first home meet of the outdoor season. Tennis is starting to gain momentum, and Joey Gabranski is on the verge of making NAIA history. We'll break it all down for you today on the 11th episode of Talking Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Doing well today, Cohen. Like you said, the Bulldogs are performing, so how else could I be than happy?
Yep, no, we've had great weather the past few days. Track and field is finally getting into the swing of things. You can smell athletics in the air. We're not going to talk about it, but soccer and football are all starting their spring training, volleyball as well. Basketball is getting back into practices after their season has ended. So finally back to business in Concordia on Seward campus. Talking about back to business, track and field did not leave much to the imagination when it came to their performance going from the indoor season to the outdoor season. It seems like they're still doing great out there in the track, even though they're outside now.
Absolutely. So yeah, we had the Concordia invite a couple days ago on April 5th. So that was our first home meet of the year for the outdoor season. It was beautiful weather that day, good running conditions, and those were pretty conducive to some good performances from the Bulldogs. So we start our little thing off with Adriana Rodenkahl in the 100-meter hurdles for the women. She actually set a stadium record in that event with a 13.84. It's also a national automatic qualifying time.
So when they set records for the stadium, that's different, I'm assuming, for outdoor and indoor, even if it's the same event?
Right, so the stadium record would be just Bulldog Stadium.
Okay.
Our indoor meets, they call that a field house.
The field house, gotcha.
Yeah, so those are different things. And in case anyone doesn't know what the NAIA auto qualifying times mean, it is basically the time that the NAIA sets that if you hit it, you are automatically going to nationals, regardless of what happens in your conference meet or anything else throughout the season. If at one point in the season you hit that time, or for a field event, you hit that mark, you're going to nationals. Adriana, she hit it already, so she is going to nationals for sure, unless injury happens or something unforeseen.
Yeah, she's like super going to nationals.
Yeah, she punched her ticket already to go. And don't worry, we have a few more of those coming up. But next we have Rodenkahl back up in the women's 200-meter dash. She got second in that event with a 25.74. Moving on to Jenna Esch in the women's 400 meter, she won that race with a 56.76 and hit the NAIA auto qualifying time of 57 seconds. Hayden Cluth got third place in the men's 400 meter hurdles with a 58.31. And then Jordan Koki in the women's 400 meter hurdles got first with a 103.48 and got the NAA auto qualifying time. Moving on to the men's 1500 meters, so that's a mile minus 100 meters.
Yep.
Calvin Rode got first place with a 3:59.65, so breaking that four is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's not the first time he's done it, but
I think we've even said a few times maybe they've broken that four, at least they've gotten really close.
Yeah, so honestly not surprising from him, but still great to see.
Yeah.
And then Kylan Freiberg in the women's iteration got a 4:39.98, which was the NAIA auto qualifying. She actually beat it 0.1 seconds.
Oh my
god. To do that in almost a mile is crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
Going to the men's 3K steeplechase. So for those of you who don't know, it's if you ever seen those pits on the track,
yep,
they basically fill those up with water and put a big hurdle before it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're jumping over that into the water. So we had two podium finishers. We had Nathan Pennekamp, who got first place with a 9:51.81, and then Aiden Limbach got third place with a 10:20.82.
And how long is the steeplechase? Is it like a mile? What's the distance?
It's a 3K.
It's a 3K.
200 meters short of 2 miles.
Yeah. I got the pleasure of watching that when it was here.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's very interesting just to sit back and choose a guy to watch and see how they do.
Oh, definitely. I think you were saying last week how they've got to get mad blisters from that.
Yeah, thing. Right? You would think.
Running in wet shoes. I know some of them don't wear socks, but
yeah, I mean, maybe they've got special shoes for that. Yeah. Do they wear their track spikes?
I think so.
We've got a lot of questions.
We'll have to check on that.
Steeplechase is an interesting event.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then, moving on to an even more interesting event. The 5K racewalk.
Oh,
one of
yes.
My personal favorites to watch. It's a blast.
Yeah.
The 3K is a pretty good distance for it. I think the 5K gets a little bit excessive, honestly. Because they're going for 30 minutes on the race walk.
That is wild.
So I think the 3K is a nice distance, but the 5K is still fun to watch.
Is that more of an endurance thing, you think? Or is it just the challenge being keeping your form the whole time and never giving in to the temptation of jogging?
I think it's got to just be a completely mental thing.
Yeah, it's like I'm thinking, is it
like the mental endurance to keep going, but also to stay focused the whole time?
Yeah, to stay focused, but I don't think that it's like as much of like a you're running a mile and you got like you're huffing and heaving.
Right.
I think it's more just in the mind and you're like, I can't, because what is it? Do you have to keep both feet on the ground at the same time?
You have to keep at least one foot on the ground at all times.
Okay. Yeah, something like that.
But you got to think. I feel like my hips would start to hurt after that.
Yeah.
You got the mom walk going for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, we had two podium finishers for that event. We had Liu Kemeng, who got second place with a 29:46.01. And then Caleb Schlittling got third place with a 30:35.47. Moving on to some field events, we have the women's discus. We had sophomore Emma Lloyd get second place in that event with 139 feet and 4 inches. In the men's hammer throw, we had Chris Wren take first place with 198 feet and 6 inches, and he managed to get the auto qualifying mark. He beat it by, what would that be, 18 feet?
Wow.
So not even close.
Yeah.
In the men's hammer throw, we had the top three finishes who all got the NAIA auto qualifying mark. So we had Darian Semedo get 54.97 meters, which converts to 180 feet and 4 inches. Connor Ash, he got second place with 177 feet and 2 inches. And then Austin Rizel got third place with 176 feet and 8 inches. And like I said, they all punched their ticket to nationals. In the women's high jump, we had Zoe Walker take third place with a 5'5" jump. Men's javelin, we had Matthew Boyer take second place with 194 feet even. And he also got the auto qualifying mark by over a meter. Women's javelin, we had Gretchen Stottlemyer take second place with 131 feet 4 inches. And then men's long jump, we had Joel Rath. He took first place in his event with a 23 feet half an inch jump. In the women's version, the women's long jump, we had Kiki Nyanuk get first place with 18 feet 3 and a quarter inches. And then a very familiar name to everyone who's been following, Zach Zoner in the men's pole vault got a mark of 5 meters even, so 16 feet 4 and 3 quarters inches. And he also got the auto qualifying mark. So he's actually vaulted almost a foot higher than that in indoor.
Yeah.
I can imagine, you know, usually indoor isn't as great for the running events.
Yeah.
But you'd think it might be better for the field events.
There's more.
You have no factors influencing it.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you know, weather and,
right.
You know, the
wind. No wind inside.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I'm assuming once he gets more used to the outdoor conditions, we'll start seeing him get back up to that 17.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yeah. In the men's shot put, we had Darian Semedo once again on the podium. He got third place. They 52 feet 4 and 3 quarters inches. And then Carson Fellhofer got fourth with 52 feet 1 and 3 quarters inches. And mention them both because they both hit the auto qualifying mark. Yep.
All right.
A couple more. The women's shot put, Abigail Gerber got first place with 54 feet 7 inches and got that auto qualifying mark. Josie Noble in the women's triple jump took third place with 37 feet and 3 inches. And then moving on to some relays, we had the women's 4x1 got second place with a 47.66. We had Cassie Saunders, Kayla Kirchner, Rhodes, and then Rodenkall. They were part of that relay team. Then the women's 4x4, they got second with a 3:53.96. We had Esch, Tools, Kirchner, and Kopke as part of that team. And then the men's 4x8, they ended up getting first place with an 8:10.86 time. They had Rode, Kunkel, Robertson, and Opp as part of that team. So that wraps up the Concordia invite.
So
to see the good times and qualifying from them.
Yeah, no, a lot of good names there. How many qualify? That's like about a dozen almost, right?
Oh, gotta be.
We had a, because I mean, I know just based on what our indoor numbers are, and our obviously outdoor is going to translate. We're going to do really good in nationals when that comes around. So
yeah.
It's good to see that a lot of those times were up there getting them to nationals. Same day, actually, as the Concordia invite was a few of the women's matches. I know I went to watch the women. They were playing Northwestern, a few dual singles. How'd that go out? Some GPAC action.
Yes, yeah, some GPAC for softball. Didn't go great, honestly. They faced Northwestern in a doubleheader. Things didn't exactly go to plan. I mean, Northwestern was or is the one seed in the GPAC, so it's always going to be tough. We didn't lose by a lot, but we got shut out in both games.
Not ideal.
So we lost the first one 2-0, and then the second one 4-0. So honestly, not a bad performance from our pitching staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seeing as they're the number one GPAC seed, only giving up 6 runs over the 2 games.
Yeah.
The hitting was where we found trouble. We had 47 total at-bats throughout the 2-game series, and we only managed 10 hits off of those. So batting about...
close to a quarter.
220, something like that.
And this was a doubleheader.
Yeah,
so same day. Yep. And that's always tough, especially when you're, you know, back-to-back and you're at the shortened innings,
right.
seeing different looks from different pitchers.
Yeah, so we were averaging about 0.8 hits an inning.
Yeah.
So just rough on that front. Our overall record now is 12-20, and then the GPAC record is 2-6.
Yeah.
But like we've said, there's plenty of GPAC left to play. This is like the first quarter of the season.
Very, very early on, for sure.
Yeah. And we have a big game tomorrow, actually, on Friday, against Jamestown. This is going to be a home game. It's going to be at 5-7. I know the soccer team, we're all headed to that one because there are Bulldogs supporting Bulldogs.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
So we'll be at that first game tomorrow. Jamestown is the number 5 GPAC team, so not quite up at the top, but should still be a very competitive matchup.
Yeah.
Be a good test for our girls. And then a senior day on Saturday, so 2 days from now, we've got it at home against Dakota Wesleyan. Enough of softball. How did the baseball team do? I know we have maybe some record breaking about to happen.
Yeah. As we mentioned in the intro, there are some exciting things going on in the baseball realm, but we'll get to that after we just break down the team performances and what they did last weekend. So baseball, they're sitting on a pretty record of 28-9. 12-4 in the GPAC. New coaches poll came out. It was just yesterday, actually, new poll on April 10th. And we got boosted, as we predicted. We do nothing but good predictions on this podcast.
We don't give predictions, we give spoilers.
Yeah, we give spoilers, that's good. And what we said is we beat Doan. At the time, Doan was the number 9 seed. We swept them in a doubleheader a few weekends back. And we were 17, and we said we're going to get bumped up. So we got bumped up to 15, Doan got bumped down to 14.
Ooh.
They still are leading us in the GPAC record, though. We both... Doan actually is second. We're second in the GPAC. Doan is first. And we're both at relatively similar records when it comes to conference and overall play. Obviously, we're going to see them again a few games down the road, so it's going to be very interesting. We're talking about the GPAC conference champions from a year ago, so this is going to be very exciting to watch as it winds down, especially when you look at the stats and where these two teams are headed. But just like softball, baseball had GPAC action last weekend as well, April 6th and April 7th. It was two different doubleheaders. I kind of found this interesting. We were playing Midland, and for the Saturday doubleheader, we played in Fremont, so it's not that long of a drive. Mm-hmm. And you can tell because Sunday, the very next day, we played a doubleheader in Seward. So they just went ahead and switched the home teams. If you will remember, if the Midwestern Nebraska listeners will remember the weather from last weekend. It was very nice, very beautiful. The sun was shining, not a lot of clouds, and an eclipse was looming, but it was very windy.
Extremely.
Extremely windy.
I went to a soccer game on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was not pretty.
It was not pretty. It's that midway, you know, the arid plains or whatever they got up here. That's what is, you could feel it.
Yeah.
Upwards of 45 miles an hour, and that becomes an issue when the 45 miles per hour is coming back at you from the outfield. And this is a team that likes to hit home runs, this Concordia team, which we'll get into the stats on that a little bit later. But it becomes problematic when that's a lot of your offense, and Mother Nature negates a lot of your offense. So we saw that in the Saturday set against Midland in Fremont. No home runs were hit by either team on both games. We ended up losing the first game 2-8, but then we proved we didn't really need the home run in the second game. We won 13-3.
Nice.
Seward was a different story. Be it orientation or whatever, the wind wasn't as strong on Sunday, but it was still reaching 25 to 30 miles an hour, but it was blowing out. So okay. In those two games, we had a combined 9 home runs.
Wow.
So, and that was just for us.
Yeah, tale of two different days, I guess.
Tale of two different days. So, yeah, I'm glad we made the travel. The first game at Midland in Fremont was very frustrating if you were watching as a Concordia fan. There were 4 errors on the Concordia side of things. Midland started off the scoring. They finished off the scoring. We only scored twice in the 5th inning. It was on a triple. Not a lot going in the first game there. The pitching staff, as you can kind of guess by the numbers, struggled a little bit. They had a pitcher, Vincent. Again, just looking at the box score, and I was doing a little digging into his stats. So, doubleheader, it's a 7-inning game. He goes all 7 innings, only gives up 2 earned runs, walks 3, strikes out 4. That's the longest he's gone in the season by a wide margin.
Oh, wow.
This is a, like, plus 5 ERA guy, and he just has his career best pitching performance. But a lot of that, again, is like every deep fly ball was dying on the outfield grass. So. Okay. It kind of attributes to that. But we're talking about pitching performances. Christian Gutierrez goes out there in game 2. Again, this is still in Fremont. Goes 9 innings of 3-run, 9-hit baseball. So he kept it very reasonable. I think his pitch count only got to 115, 120, and he was able to get the win there, 5-2. One of the runs was kind of garbage time, came in the bottom of the ninth when the game was over.
Yeah.
Again, that was a blowout. That was the 13-3 win in Fremont. And then we go to Seward. It's 2-10 in the first game. We scored 4 runs in the first, 4 runs in the fourth. Didn't really look back. Again, we're hitting homers everywhere. We'll get into that in a bit. And then game 4, the sweep on Sunday, 14-4 win. Same story. We got 6 runs in the fourth, 6 runs in the sixth. Just kind of piling it on there in Seward. What was notable is during that 2-game set on Sunday, Joey Gabranski hit 2 home runs. Why is that important? He now has 76 on his career. One more, he'll have 77. And that is the NAIA record set in 2010 for a career by Bryce Cutspeck. So back in 2010, a guy named Bryce Cutspeck played first base, set the NAIA record with 77 home runs. We're not even close to being done with the season, so
no,
you've got to assume that Joey Gabranski is going to shatter that record.
Yeah, and I saw on the Bulldog Twitter, I've been seeing the updates of like, oh, he's moving up to fourth place. I thought that was the Bulldog record.
That is NAIA all-time career home run record.
That's insane.
Yes, and got me a bit curious. Bryce Cutspeck, I wanted just to see how his career played out, you know, as maybe a litmus test for what Joey Gabranski has in store for him. Not bad. Bryce Cutspeck had spent about 2 years in the minor league system for the San Francisco Giants. He was bouncing around rookie ball and high A ball. Put up some good numbers as a professional. 296 average in 2010, 240 average in 2011. So not bad at all. Again, I guess if you're going to judge by that standard, that's a good omen for Joey Gabranski.
Not bad to get paid to play some baseball.
Yeah, right. Not bad at all. Just breaking it down by career. Freshman year, Joey had 17. Sophomore year, he had 18. His junior year, he goes out and hits 27.
Oh, wow.
Senior year, he's at 14 so far.
Okay.
He needs to get to 15 to tie it, 16 to hold the record all by himself. But it's not just Gabranski. We're hitting the long ball across the board. We're actually 6th in the nation when it comes to home runs.
Whoa.
At 79 as a team. The leaders there are Jaden Quinn. He's got 19. Gabranski's got 14. The freshman first baseman, Matt Rhodes, how about that? 12. And Alec Blackstead has 10. So those are our top 4 hitters, our top 4 home run hitters that are all in double digits in the home run category. But with that being said, all of those shiny figures are not enough to get us first place in the GPAC, at least not right now, but we can rectify this. Next up, we've got Morningside. They're 4th in the GPAC. They boast a 10-6 conference record, 23-13 overall record. They're just kind of middle of the road when you look at all their stats, middle of the road hitting, middle of the road pitching. Although they do have the second best ERA in the GPAC. It's still only 4.37 runs, so we can really look to explode, have some big offensive games. That's going to be this weekend, April 13th and 14th, four games, two doubleheaders on two different days.
Okay.
If, you know, you win those outright and then the right things happen to Doan over the weekend, we could be talking about next podcast being first in the GPAC and having our sights set on some hardware at the end of the season.
That'd be pretty sweet, because if you're one at the end of the season, you get all the GPAC games at home.
Yep.
All the conference games.
Yep, so you get to coast through the playoffs as our women's team, as the women's basketball team discovered they had their first home playoff game in a while, and looking to do the same with baseball.
For sure.
But not done yet. We've got women and men's tennis. Started off a bit shaky to begin the year, but they put a few matches together, women especially against Northwestern. How'd they do?
Yeah, so they played twice last week, so they got wins over both Northwestern and then Doan. So on April 5th, like I said, they beat Northwestern. They swept the doubles point. So for those of you who, just to remind you of the tennis scoring, you basically have three doubles matches, so six people going at the same time. You just have to win two out of the three doubles matches, and then you get yourself 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Then all six of those people, they go play a singles match, and each one of those singles matches counts as a point.
Yep.
So basically, 7 points available, whoever gets the most wins. So we swept that doubles point, so we got all three wins, which gave us the 1 point. And then Mariana Milano, Shakira Derman, Tessa Blau, and Alexa Richard all won their singles matches to give us the 5-2 win. Then, a couple days later, on the 9th, the Bulldogs defeated Doan 6-1. Once again, we won the doubles point, and then Derman, Alana Lopez-Bignan, Blau, Richard, and Frudenberg won their singles games. So with those wins, they increased their record to 8-6 overall, and more importantly, they're now 3-1 in the GPAC. So they were sitting at an even 500 record in the GPAC.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying earlier, is when you get into the GPAC games, you end up getting a lot of these games against conference opponents, and that's what really matters. You know, when you look at those shaky starts, what's really important is winning those conference games. If you lose everything else, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, overall record, not too important. GPAC, very important.
Yep.
Next game is up on April 15th, so that'll be against College of St. Mary, a GPAC match. And that'll be here at home. And then after that, on the 17th, we've got Midland also at home and also a GPAC matchup. So we got some big games coming up
big
for
games.
The women. Yeah. Then on to men's tennis. Bit of a, not a bad week, but not amazing. They also played against Northwestern and Doan, and they split that series. So they won the home match versus Northwestern 4-3. So swept the doubles point. Mm-hmm. And then Hugo Fuentes, Manuel Rodriguez, and Michael Bedrosian won their singles matches to get a hotly contested win. And then yesterday, they faced off against Doan and lost 6-1. So we only won one of the doubles matches. It was Grady Works and Mitch Crum, so we lost that point. And then Santiago Abadia was the only singles winner. So we ended up losing that one 6-1. We now sit at a 6-11 overall record, 1-3 in the GPAC. So not the perfect way to start,
nope.
But still got some GPAC games left. GPAC tennis, there's not a ton of teams in it, so shouldn't be too hard to make the tournament.
Yeah.
And that's what you're really looking for. You're looking to make that tournament, give yourself a shot.
Just give us a chance.
Yeah, get them in and let them have a shot at making nationals. Then we have a game on Saturday at home against Wartburg College. So that's all for the tennis teams.
Yep, got a lot around the corner. Again, it's good that we're getting a lot of these at home. Men, baseball is not going to be at home. I think I forgot to mention that, but they'll be in Sioux City. But if you have the chance this weekend, go out and support the tennis teams. I was out there. Again, it was the same day as the track meet, Concordia invite. I just drifted over, wandered over to the women's tennis match. It's a very peaceful ordeal.
Yeah, everyone's quiet during the
everyone's quiet match. You know, every once in a while I like how they do, they have a cheer, so like one person will start the Sko Dogs,
yeah,
and then they reciprocate it around the court. Enjoy that, but you know, it's great if you're a big tennis fan, obviously it's great. You want to go out there and bring your book or whatever and just maybe fall asleep on the lawn. nobody's going to judge you.
Could go for that as well. Got some sunny days coming up.
Very nice spring weather coming up. Just hope the wind doesn't blow you away.
Yeah.
With all that being said, that'll be all for our 11th episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned for a future weekly podcast on the See You When You Sower website and Spotify. In the meantime, from Cole Carpenter and Kyle Brick and everyone at the Sower Newspaper, have a great day and go Dogs!